Hi, everybody. I might as well start because I'm the speaker and there's no introduction. There's no podium. I'm not exactly sure where I'm supposed to stand, but I'll just wing it. And hi, wow, it's a whole group of people. My name's Judy Thomases. I am a recent transplant from New York to the area. So this was wonderful when I saw this event. I said, oh gosh, this is meant. I'm supposed to be here. I have been an astrologer and a tarot consultant, spiritual counselor, can feel auras and so forth for over 30 years. And I have a book, and that's on Amazon. That's here too. About a dozen years ago, I was paying no mind. I was journaling for myself, and I began to hear. I began to hear words. The process of channeling began, and those words began with simple statement. It went like this: remember, life's a game. You're stuck in jail. Find your go-free escape card. We will help. And I said, what? And I'm writing, you know, I'm diarying. And I'm writing, and so I wrote those words down. And what happened subsequently was this gift that began in that way and then continued. It continued to be something that was a process. I had to understand how to do it. I had to understand what the message was. The message was to change our perspective, to see ourselves in a different light, that we were here as souls in human form, as energy beings, playing a game called being human. Being human means dealing with life, being alive. Being alive means being in Earth school, learning lessons. The lessons take us to a place called wisdom. And wisdom helps us to negotiate life with more peace and joy. Wisdom is our tool to remove suffering. And so eventually a book came out of this process. In the meantime, I'm still doing my astrology readings and so forth and receiving this. Now, people, you know, usually ask me about the process. Do you hear voices? Well, yeah, channeling is that. But it's an invited process. I'm not just walking along and things are talking to me. It's a process in which you kind of log on, I call it. You would have to quiet your mind, kind of remove yourself from the daily personal distractions of your drunken monkey mind. That's what it's called in Eastern philosophy. Your mind is like a monkey. It doesn't stay still. It jumps all over the place. It's not only like a monkey, but it's like a drunken monkey. And I know I passed a place down the road called the Drunken Monkey, and I said, I don't want to be there. And it's not only, sorry if anybody here owns the place or has, but it's not only, your mind is not only like a drunken monkey, but it said your mind is like a drunken monkey that's been stung by a bee. It can't stop. It cannot slow down. It cannot turn off. So my talk today, which is leading into this, is I've named it Practical Spirituality, because all these years of receiving these messages has really boiled down to how do you live life? How can we be better at the game of life? It is a game. And I subtitled it Expert Wisdom Tips on karma, intuition, and the quantum shift. So I have no notes. We're going to wing it here. And we're going to go on, and you're welcome to ask me questions or whatever. Here's how I want to approach it. There's different ways to approach your life. And some of them, which are perfectly good, have to do with your will or your desire. You have a thought that you want to achieve something. You have an appetite, an emotional desire that you need, you want something. And that's perfectly okay. If we didn't have that, we would just be blobs of energy doing nothing with our lives. So something is driving us forward. And in your horoscope, it's the planet Mars. We all have that, the motivator, the energy activator. And if you approach life by the path of, I want something, I want to reach out, I want to make something happen, then you activate will and you move forward towards it. The thing about that is you don't know yet what your consequences are going to be when you take action. They could come out good, they might come out not so good. And the not so good is when you start to feel pain and misery and consequences that are not to your liking, something that doesn't taste sweet but tastes bitter to you. So you won't know that until you've taken the action. The action could work out great. You could put all your energy and effort into something and it works out great for you. You have success, you get good results. Well, from doing one of those two things, taking your action and having it come out good or come out bad, you learn something. You could call that wisdom, okay? And your wisdom is a little nugget that you will always carry with you. And by the way, you carry your nugget of wisdom from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. In one of the tarot cards, the death card, there's a little thing that crosses in the sky and it looks like a flying saucer. That may not be in all the cards, but in the basic Rider-Waite deck and in the BOTA deck. And that is your nugget of wisdom that you are carrying. You never lose it. The soul has learned something about the thing that we call life. Okay. Now, after you've succeeded in attaining that goal, you'll go on and on and on to other goals, and each one of them will have a little piece of that wisdom in it. There is a different way to approach life, however. Not saying it's better or worse, but it is a slightly different navigation tool, and that is called intuition. Okay? Intuition is a still silent voice within that gives you guidance. And guess what? We can't hear it half the time. We can't hear it because that monkey mind is going a mile a minute telling us, reacting to this, or what we should do, or what we want. So we have reason, the logical brain, as the loudest voice in our heads. Well, if I do this and this, and I analyze it, and that's logic, loud voice. Then second loud voice, sometimes even louder, is desire, emotion. I want this, I want it, I need it, I want it. Loud, loud, loud. And behind all of that is your radar. That quiet voice that's saying, do this now. Maybe not yet. So-and-so's going to call me. Maybe I should take that action right now. You know, things like that. Small, still voice within. Your hunch. Your vibe, okay? Or in some people's cases, an actual psychic event. You're being told something, you're being shown something. So you really want to develop that intuition. Why? Because when you take action, you set in motion ripples of energy. okay? And that energy is going to ripple outwards into existence, and you're going to encounter that again. Do you know the name of what I'm talking about?
Expansion.
Well, expansion is a good name, but do you know the name of when you encounter the energy that you sent out before? Yeah. Okay. That's it. Give me a minute. So you want to be sure that you're taking action and sending out energy that's going to return to you beneficially as much as possible. And how can you know that? Well, some of it is that you have a lot of wisdom accumulated from your previous experiences in this life or past lives. You have accumulated a body of knowledge, and we call a soul who has a lot of that knowledge. You know what we call that in terms of the age of the soul? We call that an old soul. Okay, right. So you have like accumulated body of knowledge against which to choose, make choices. And you're also developing intuition so that you have a guidance system. And the guidance system can help you figure out each next choice, each fork in the road, multiple times every day, every minute, multiple choices. And if you're tuned in 100% of the time, your choice is going to be not just your own personal will or a product of your emotions and desires, but there's going to be another element in that choice. And that element is going to be a higher voice, something that is greater than yourself, but still you. Not something really outside of you, or you wouldn't be hearing it within. So that intuition, you could break the word down to intuition, inner teacher. In the tarot, it's the Hierophant card, okay? And then what begins to happen after stages that you go through, you process this and you transform yourself and you kind of master emotions. You begin to master them because you're aware that there's a lot of static in this loud voice of I need, I want, or this and that is happening. And you quiet that. And then what's happening is that the intuition becomes more apparent and you're hearing it. Well, you're going through stages that include transformation, plutonic, huge differences in your personalities, like the old you fades away or dissolves and a new you comes forward. That new you is a much more centered, harmonious individual that is listening carefully to inner guidance. Do this now, do that. Is that only for yourself, that inner guidance? Well, at first, yeah, it'll help you live your life better. Eventually, what you're going to start hearing is how to help everyone. What actions should I take that are of the most benefit for the most of humanity? So you get tuned in, you really change, you really transform. And the last aspect of my talk is about what I call the quantum shift, because having received a lot of these teachings psychically through channeling, and also I have to tell you that as this was all working on me, and I'd be working with an individual in a session, well, that stuff was coming right through. And it wasn't only that I might be channeling for so-and-so, but the whole understanding of what the person was doing with their life began to come through, right? So the process of being taught and then giving those teachings through interactions with all of us, you know, we're all the same, we're all journeying, we're all at certain stages of awareness, and we're all looking for answers. So what came through, this is, by the way, why I called, I began to call my business Wisdom Path, P-A-T-H, Wisdom Path, because it's a teaching, a body of teachings. So I realized that one of the key things, and this is, I heard before in the room somebody was talking about law of attraction. Law of attraction, okay. One of the key things in visualizing and then bringing back to you that which you want to make manifest is you got to master this static in your brain, this human experience of being uncentered sometimes with too much emotion, too much distraction, too much everything else going on for you to be able to navigate well. And I guess the way to do that would be to learn how to realize that you're in an emotion and realize that that emotion is not you. That you do not have to be victimized or self-sabotaged by your own emotional drama. You can change your story. You can change your reality right then and there, on a dime, like that. I'm really angry. God, I'm so angry at that person. I'm angry. Like you step back. And a part of you is watching yourself being angry. And you say, that part of you says, I don't need to be here. What can I do? What can I do? And there's techniques. There's techniques, for instance, you can use humor. Humor is a really good technique. Yeah, okay. Well, in stepping back, you're actually connecting better with yourself. Staying connected to your emotion. Do you want to stay connected to your emotion? Or do you want to stay connected with your inner self? You want to stay connected with your guidance system, with the quiet, calm, neutral, the observer, the witness in you. That is the higher self, okay? So that's what you want to stay connected to. And this emotion is taking you out of that. It's removing you from that connection. What if you're in fear? What if your emotion is fear? Not so much a forceful anger, but a like, I don't want to approach that. I'm frightened of doing that. I'm scared of this person. You have to work on that too. There's a lot of different techniques. I can't go over all of them in the time frame that I have, but some of the techniques could be like make a joke about it. I said use humor. In the tarot, we were taught mirth is the antidote to evil. You know the devil card? Some people are frightened of the images, the archetypes in tarot. He looks big and ponderous. And the people are chained, but they're chained loosely. So you can throw off your bondage to something that seems to have power over you. You can throw that off at will, as you wish. And you do that, one of the things is to look at it lightly, make light of it as a technique. Another technique could be, like we're all on computers nowadays, control, alt, delete. Okay? Cancel. There are meditation techniques, breathing techniques. You can work ahead of time to prepare a quiet space for you to go into always when you need to jump out of that and you have prepared a scene. You revisit a memory, an old childhood memory where you were so happy, or an adult memory where you went to a place, you were on vacation, it was on a beach. It was up in a mountain. Everything was beautiful. The sunset was just perfect. You were at total peace. And you learn, you practice this in your meditations to jump into that place, so then you have it available to you when you want to switch gears. There's a breathing technique that I write about, and we were taught this in yoga, and this is very simple. You could do this in the middle of, oh gosh, anything, any kind of distress, actually, except if you're driving, I wouldn't suggest closing your eyes or anything. But the breathing technique is you create a box, and I'll explain that in a second. Visualize a box. So at the point that you start, you would breathe in. Say to a simple count of four beats, and then you hold your inhalation for another count of four beats, and then you exhale that inhalation for another count of four beats, and then you just stay exhaled. Don't inhale right away. You can see that you'll be able to do that longer and longer to close the box. Okay. By the way, the process of meditation is going into, through breathing, you can go into a kind of samadhi, which is the breathless state. And after you get experience, how many people here have done any kind of breathing meditation? Good. Lots. Okay. Okay. So do you find that the longer you do this, the more that you can stay in that non-breathing state for longer and longer. In that state, you become open. You become not there. When you stretch that space out longer and longer, the you that you know yourself to be goes away. It disappears. You become breath. You become just consciousness, just awareness. And the aim is to extend that state longer and longer. So that is a meditative technique that will connect you more and more with your inner self. And by the way, what I discovered with channeling is that the best way for me to log on is to go quickly into that no thought, no breathing state. To kind of try to explain it, it's like sliding over on a bench. You're still there, but you're not inhabiting there anymore. And you're still aware, you're still present, but you've left an opening. For those of you who have maybe some fear about doing this, or have maybe had some not so great experiences trying this, you might want to protect yourself at first. Visualize yourself surrounded by light. Banish anything dark, anything fearful, anything negative, any negative thought. And put yourself in a place where you're comfortable allowing, kind of removing the ego identity from the self. And that's what I find is really helpful for logging on, because then you become a vortex, an opening for the benign forces of the universe to offer something. It's like creating a roadway, an avenue, a portal. So there are techniques to get yourself out of negative emotion, but you know what? Even excessive high positive emotion is still an emotional drama, a state of not really being able to hear the inner voice. I mean, you could be like, you know, so happy about something. Well, great, that's pleasurable. Well, who doesn't want to be happy? But if you're in that too much, you're not centered. That's the plain and simple. You're not in your quiet, connected state. So that's a goal. That's a goal. And coming back full circle to what my talk is about, we become aware that our actions have ripple effects that can return to us and will in a positive or not so great way. We want to act more and more always in a way that we send out positives and bring back positives to us. That's what we want to attract. If we're talking law of attraction, you know. I heard a story once where somebody actually got sick because they felt that they were trying so hard to visualize and make their desires manifest, and they didn't know why they were doing the whole program. Why wasn't it working, you know? That's because they didn't do this inner work. They were just doing like exterior techniques. They didn't work on quieting, calming, being in a centered place, a place where you can hear your inner guide, and from there, then taking the next action. Now, sometimes your guide is going to say, go forward. Do something that you're a little afraid to do. Take a chance. Be the fool stepping off the cliff. Go for it. And your emotions are going, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I can't do it. Well, you have to. You have to be in a place where you surrender into the guidance. As long as you're aware and as long as you're feeling comfortable within yourself that the guidance is positive, that it's truly intuition and not some weird thing that you've constructed in your head out of your imagination. Sometimes, in other words, your guidance will tell you to act, and act in a way that you were created to act. You're here as an energy pattern, and your energy pattern has a skill set, and it also has a purpose, a mission. I see it in the chart as your north node. Astrologers see your soul purpose. Now, that could be something that you're doing just inside of yourself. The whole life is determined around waking up or gaining self-esteem or utilizing a talent or whatever. That's fine. Or it may be shown that your soul path has to do with actions and efforts that you can make on another's behalf. Well, that's great too. Nobody knows what your agenda is except you. But you want to take action towards it, and you want to do it with the right timing. Just because there's an engine driving you inside, that doesn't mean that you should rush into it, because that could be wrong timing. So what's going to tell you right timing? Intuition. And centering yourself, getting out of the clamor of, you know, the storm of emotions that we often live in, is a great technique. That would be a great way for you to feel, hey, I got this concept of life more in control. I'm more the master of my fate, and I can play it better. I can play the game of life better. I can feel, being human, that I get myself into a pickle, I got myself into an emotion, I have techniques, I can calm it down, I can remove myself from that, and now I can listen again. I can tune in. And as I tune in, I'll be given the timing and maybe some knowledge. And so that's really what I'm here to talk about. That's my talk. You will take right action more of the time. You will feel more empowered because you're going to feel more in control of your life and your choices. And by the way, the last little bit about the law of attraction is, as you get in touch, as you get harmonized with this, as you're flowing, as you're listening, as you're taking action, you feel like you are one with energy, a surge results. You will see synchronistically validation of your new point of view. Weird coincidences will take place that say, yeah, that happened because I did something within, and that synchronicity will increase, and then all of a sudden so much energy will be available to you. Energy that is going down the drain right now in negative emotion, self-sabotaging. I mean, we all do it, so we all have done it. We wouldn't be human if we didn't do this. But there is such a release, such an abundance of extra energy available to you when you do this. It feels joyful. So the end result of this is empowerment and joy. And good karma, greater intuition, psychic powers develop, and mastery of the game of life. And that is called wisdom. So that's my talk, everybody. I have a little bit more time, I think. Does anybody have questions? Yeah.
I get a lot of intuition from my mom, but I get a lot of practicality from my dad, which I think causes a lot of self-doubt. And I feel the intuition, but the practicality in me says maybe that's not right. And is there any advice you have for relieving the self-doubt?
So it sounds like your karma includes integrating an intuitive mind with a logical mind, right? Okay. So I honor the logical mind. It took millennia for human beings to develop the current mind, the brain that we have. Intuition never will direct you down the wrong road. Other things might, but the track record of intuition is really good. So your job seems to be to check the logical choices with intuition, you know, figure out if it makes sense, and then listen to what it feels like. And once you get the okay, the green light from your intuition, then you could move forward. And then maybe the two sides of your family come together. And that could be a blessing, you know? Anybody else? Huh?
Left brain, right brain. Joining together and working.
Yeah. That's what we're supposed to do in the Aquarian age, you know? Women's feminine energy is rising in the Aquarian age, but it's not supposed to be to take over. It's supposed to be to equalize the combo, the perfect union of man and woman. We haven't achieved that yet, but we're trying to get there.
How do you know the difference between your mind bringing words into your consciousness, or whether it's your intuition? Is intuition always a knowing, or can you actually hear the words?
When you hear words, they give it different names. They give it the names of psychic, mediumship, channeling, things like that. Intuition, to me, is usually of a feeling, knowing nature. Yeah, yeah. Once in a while, a specific word will come through. Once in a while, usually very brief. The channeling is actual dictation. You know, long passages. By the way, if you visit me at my table later, I have a sign-up sheet, and I send out a monthly newsletter, and it always has a channeling in it for the month. So please do. But I think you could say intuition is a knowing.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. It's a pleasure.
Out the evaluation form.